Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lessons. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583. That's 1-718-766-4583. Or join in with the chat session on Twitter at CTKR Ministries. That's one word, CTKRMINISTRIES. We welcome your questions and your comments. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. That's www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. I am looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
This is Crystal McQueen.
And welcome to the Kingdom Lifestyles. Amen. We're from Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, and we're so happy that you could join us tonight.
Yes, we are.
We're looking to some wonderful discussions tonight.
Yes.
Looking forward to what God is going to do here. And before we get started, let's pray. Prophetess, if you would.
Father, right now, in Jesus' name, God, we come before you thanking you and praising you for all that you've done. God, we thank you for your protection. We thank you for keeping us throughout the day. And we thank you for this moment in time to be able to hear your voice again. Father, even now, I ask that our ears would be attuned to your word, Father, that the seeds that will be given on today out of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of knowledge, that the seeds will go down deep inside. God, bring a mighty harvest in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, even now, take the scales off our eyes. Allow us to see spiritually, God. Allow us to begin to understand who we are in Christ, God. Give us a deeper revelation and understanding of you. I'm asking in the name of Jesus that we bind the hand and the work and the plan of the enemy right now. In Jesus' name, we bind every spirit of distraction. We bind every spirit of oppression and depression. We bind the spirit of fire that wants to come up on your people even now, God. Father, we ask and command that the people will be released in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, begin to shift our minds, that we begin to understand your word deeper and that we will see your word not only just be the hearer only, God, but that we become doers. Father, that we will become doers and of your word and that we will begin to walk in destiny that you have ordained for us in the mighty name of Jesus. God, now we will definitely give your name all praise, all glory and honor for everything that you have done for us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Tonight we're going to start dealing with spirituality. I had touched on it before this, and I really want to get deeper into it as time. Thank you all for your prayers these past couple of weeks. We have been to North Carolina and we've done the keynote conference here. And we really enjoyed ourselves. It took us away from the broadcast, but we're happy to be back. Amen.
Amen.
So we really want to get into this. In dealing with authority, it's too often we hear about authority, but we really don't understand the authority that we have. And being that we understand it, the enemy comes in and does his best to discourage us, to destroy us, to put us down. And you have to understand that God has released authority into the earth. Jesus Christ has he has all power and all authority. But he's delegated it to us. So your kingdom lifestyle, the ability that you have to live in the lifestyle, is tied to your understanding of your kingdom authority. Amen.
Yes.
Understand something, that authority is from you, but it is delegated to you so that you can do what you need to do. Amen.
Amen.
So as we end with this, we really want to take it and grab a hold of it and run with it. We need to understand that there's a difference between authority and power. Amen. And if you don't understand that, you'll be trying to exercise power where you should exercise authority. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be trying to delegate power when you need to be able to delegate authority. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let's deal with this. Greek term authority in both in the New Testament is exousia. It's translated sometimes as power, but it does not refer to physical strength. What it refers to is the rightful and legitimate exercise of power. And what that is, I've served for years as a police officer. I could stand in the middle of the expressway, hold my hand up, and stop it.
Okay.
Now, I did not have the power, that is the strength, physical strength, to stop not one little car. If a Yugo was coming at me, it could do me harm before I could harm.
Mm.
Amen. The smallest car, a little car, as they say, I couldn't stop that at all. Little cars riding around, it could have ran me right over in my own strength. But in my authority as an officer, I was able to hold up my hand and stop traffic, even if the biggest rig carrying the most heaviest of fuels or cargo or whatever it is that they will be carrying, it was sub to me because of the authority that was delegated to me as an officer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is that we as Christians, we have authority that is delegated to us. Amen?
All right.
The authority that is delegated to us comes from Jesus Christ, man. And you have to understand that authority is basically a virtue. It comes by virtue of the person who actually holds position. So there's authority given to you by position, not necessarily any other reason. Amen. But then there's authority that comes some other ways too. Let me make sure that we get this together. I see you, Refuge. I'm trying to make sure that we have good people for you. Amen.
Amen.
And that could be a number of things. It may be the feed that you actually have there. We'll work on it and see what we can do here. Amen. Amen. A person has authority primarily by virtue of the position one holds. Okay? As an apostle, as the apostle of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, the authority that I have within the organization comes from our constitution and those who subscribe and ascribe to it. That means that in the organization, I am the number one, and authority comes from those who have given me that authority to be their covering, to be my peace, to go forward and seek God on their behalf, and to do what I need to do in that position. And
mm-hmm.
Now, if I go to your if I go to your organization, may I have authority. Amen.
Amen.
But then again, you have to understand that authority comes from delegation. Okay. Now let me put this into order. Authority is characterized as either intrinsic or delegated. Intrinsic authority is dominion that one exercises because it is innate in that person or is held by that person. For example, God, as the creator of the universe, has intrinsic authority. That means simply because he is who he is, his authority stands. Amen?
Amen.
That means that he doesn't have to worry about someone stepping over what he said and setting a different order. He is the order based on what he says. What he says goes and it stands and it settles itself within heaven. Amen? And in earth and in all creation. Because God is the creator of the universe, God's sovereignty, dominion over everything is absolute. Amen?
Okay.
So when he deals with things, he deals with from an intrinsic authority position. Amen? He doesn't have to try to get authority from anybody. He's the one who gives authority to everybody. We can see this if we go in the Bible. Let's do that right quick. Let's go to make it Romans.
Yes. All right.
So I'm trying to navigate through all of this. Romans the 13th chapter.
Amen.
Amen. We have storms that came through the area today.
Still coming through.
Yes. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version and break it down into the Amplified. Romans 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and all authorities that exist are appointed by God."
Amen.
So what happens is that people have a problem dealing with people in authority. Their oppositional faces order odds. There's certain other ones where people have a problem with people in authoritative issues. They don't like you simply because you hold authority. Amen. As a police officer, there's people who don't like police. Not that they're doing anything wrong. They're not criminals. They're not walking, trying to do anything criminal. It's just the fact that a police officer has authority to write the ticket, to detain, to arrest, all of those things. They don't like the police. But when you go back and you start looking, you find out that these are the same people who don't like the teacher at school. They don't like the principal. They don't like the coach. They have problems at home because mom's dad says do something. They upset my dad. It's not so much that they're upset at that person. They're upset and they have a problem with authority. Amen. And then once you begin to look in their lives and you begin to deal with it, you'll see that they have problems all the way around. Amen. But the Bible says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority," listen to this, "for there is no authority except from God." That means that all authority that comes in and or that we have and that we deal with is delegated from God.
Amen.
Amen. And that's important for us to grab hold of and to know, because there is nothing, and I do nothing that you have that you can grab hold of and exercise except God gave it to you.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
So there's no way for you to turn around and say, you know what, I'm the authority of myself. I stand on my own. I am who I am. I have my own authority. Nobody can come against me or say anything to me because I am the end all, because there's one that stands beyond you who gave you the authority to be who you are at that level. Amen. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. God gives you that authority. Amen. So he has intrinsic authority. And as I stated, the other one is delegated authority. And that authority is given to us by one who has intrinsic authority. Amen. And that would be God. So as we begin to then go and deal with the offices and the positions that God has given us to do and deal with kingdom ministry and kingdom assignments, you don't go in your strength, you go in his strength. You don't go in your authority, you go in his authority. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He delegated authority to you so that you can accomplish the assignment that he set before you. Amen? So delegated authority is given from one who has intrinsic authority to one serving in an office or carrying out a function. Amen?
Amen.
So that means that you can do what God told you to do because God has empowered you to do it. So instead of looking at what it's going to cost and how it needs to be done and how can it be done based on where you are and what your strength is, you need to look past yourself, understand that God has given you the power and the authority to be successful in kingdom ministry. Amen?
All right now.
So then, I don't have to look at this and try to figure out how I'm going to come up with the finances to do kingdom work, because the finances come along, the resources come along with that. Amen? And as Jesus began to tell his disciples as he sent them out, he would tell them, you know, go out, preach the kingdom of God. Don't take a script. Don't take an extra coat. Don't take a purse with you. But when you go out, I want you to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Amen. Cast out devils. I give you authority over all manner, over all demonic forces and over all manner of sickness and disease. Amen.
Oh, yes, he did.
So we have to understand that we have this power, we have this authority, and we're supposed to be demonstrating it before the world. The world is looking for something real. We have talked so much that they can hear us coming. When we come, God bless you, my brother, my sister, they like, okay, one of these. Listen, I already got your message. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So now they're ready to deal with who we are. They're ready to deal with us all, amen,
mm-hmm.
based on what they've heard already. There's a question, amen, and I like this question. The question is, for those of you who can't see the chat, I know you can't, the question is, did Jesus also give this delegate authority to Judas? And the answer is yes. Judas was one of the 12 who was called out, who was called to Jesus and given authority. He
mm-hmm.
was delegated authority. And he went out and did exactly, you know what, let's turn to this. Before I go to that, let me finish up Romans 13, because I don't want to open it up and then not conclude here. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, second verse, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So in other words, what the scripture is saying here is that authority and power is set up by God, okay? And if God sets someone or something in authority, then your job is to obey the authority. If you do not, then you'll find that there's a judgment that comes to you because of that. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah.
So it is not so much that we look at it from our mental stance. It is because we have to understand who God is.
Amen.
God has a plan that he sets up, and he empowers us to enact our part in that plan.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me deal with this. Let me deal with this. We have to understand that with the question that we have here, let me get to it here. Let me see here. Yes. Amen. Romans, let's go to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew's 10 and 1. It says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, that would include Judas. Amen.
Okay.
He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and disease.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Okay. Now, and deal with it even further, it goes on. Now, the name of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So Jesus gave him the same power and authority.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, sir, excuse me.
Amen.
Sorry.
I was hoping that was amen.
Sorry.
Gave the same authority and power to Judas. Okay. And look what it says in the 5th verse. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your purse, on your money belt, sorry, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs. For a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever city you, or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. And when you go out, go into a household, greet it. And if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Okay, now, I'm going to stop here because there's certain things that we need to look at. And I think it's important for us to understand that Jesus gives authority to his 12 disciples. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And as he gives that authority to them, we begin to see some things that actually occur. He gives them authority, and then he gives them parameters for that authority. Amen?
Right.
So he doesn't just give them authority and tell them, you know, go ahead and do what you're going to do. He says, I'm going to have you do this, but in order for you to do this, I'm going to give you parameters. Do not go into the cities of the Gentiles. Do not go into the way of the Samaritans. Amen?
Amen.
So there is an area that you have authority in. Just because I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen, Chief Apostle Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, does not mean that I can run over to, say, for instance, Church of God in Christ and go up to Bishop Blake and tell him, I'm Apostle McQueen, you need to move over because I'm about to say something, do something here.
Right.
That does not work.
That's right.
Nor does it work for Bishop Blake to come over to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and say, listen, I'm Bishop Blake of Church of God in Christ. Move over. I got something to say here.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because when I'm in his arena, when I'm in his area, his sphere of influence, he has authority there. But when he comes here, I have authority here. Amen. And see, what's happening is in the body of Christ, the devil has gotten us, the enemy of our souls has gotten us to look at each other and try to buy one against the other, if you will.
That's true. That's true.
So he wants me to look at you and say, well, you know, y'all don't have the authority we have because, you know, we have fasted this many days and everything and we got it. And, of course, you know, you look at other people and say, well, you don't have the authority that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we do that, the more that we go back and forth with this, the more that we mess ourselves up. Do you know that we're not fighting against each other?
I know that's right.
Jesus said this. He said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. But the enemy of our souls would try to get us to try to fight against each other. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We'll be looking at each other trying to figure out which one of us have greater authority. And, you know, it's really not that important who has greater authority. My question to you is, are you exercising the authority that Jesus Christ gave you in the assignment that he's delegated to you? Amen?
Amen.
So what happens is, when I begin to deal with who I am as Apostle Christopher McQueen, there's a sphere of influence that he's given me. Amen. We have churches in Kenya, in Uganda. We have schools and orphanages there. And we have pastors, apostles, and bishops that are under our covering. Amen. So when it comes down to them, they refer to me and ask me what we need to do. And God gives me revelation and rhema word for them so that we continue to grow and that we are able to be effective in ministries. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And here in the United States, God has given us sons and daughters in Ohio and Pennsylvania, out in Texas. We're down here in Florida now. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand where God is setting you and what your assignment is. Amen. If you do not know that, then you'll challenge somebody else's authority, or someone can challenge yours, and you'll turn around and sit down because you don't look like somebody else. Amen.
Amen. There's a question out there, Apostle.
Yes.
This person wants to know, when we're talking about regions or areas, you know, what are we specifically talking about? And I will answer, you know, the part, and as Apostle's looking up the scriptures, one of the things, people of God, that we have to understand is that God gives us all authority.
Yes.
We all have authority. However, there are some people that only have been assigned, or you have a realm of influence over that I may not have.
Right.
For example, some people are called to the homeless, or to those I'll even say not even just the homeless, but maybe people that are from the background of gangs.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I'll use that as an example. Some people, God has given a voice in those people's ears where when they speak, people are drawn to them from that environment.
Right.
So
right.
Men and women of God, you're given, God gives each and every one of us realms and spheres of influence that others may not have. Does not make us greater than the next one.
Yes.
Because it's the self same spirit, which is God. It all brings glory back to him.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at this here. As we're dealing with the 12 and what happened with them, you have to understand that he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, not to kill them.
Amen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He also gave them power or authority over all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Amen?
Amen.
So when we look at this, we can see a number of things. And I do believe that is in Mark, the 6th chapter, around the, let me see here. I want to get it right. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, on this one, I got to flip it over. I'm trying to push it up and down the scroll, but it goes the other way. Amen. Yes, there we go.
Here we go.
When you look at this, you'll see something very interesting. The 12 return after they have been given this assignment, and this shows you the power, the authority that God releases to us. They have been given the assignment to go out, told where to go. And that's in Matthew 10:5. Do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter a city of the Samaritan, but rather go to the lost house of Israel. 7 verse, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 8 verse, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically, it says, for those who say, well, look, I can't lay hands on you to cast out anything until I get an offering. That's not biblically sound.
Mm-hmm.
That's not scripturally sound. Jesus didn't tell them to go out there and raise an offering to do what he gave them authority to do. They were to go out and demonstrate the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And that manifested itself in them healing, cleansing, raising the dead, casting out demons. Amen. They're to speak and preach. Amen.
Amen.
And deal with their kingdom assignment.
Amen.
And as they did so, we find out that things happened. Now, let's go over here to Mark 6:30.
Okay.
Mark 6:30 said, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done. That means they went out and did what he instructed them to do. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Both what they had done and what they had taught. Amen. And he said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest for a while. For there were many coming and going, and that they did not even have time to eat. In other words, once they went out and did what he told them to do, there was a manifestation like he told them it would be. Amen? So he went out and began, they went out and did the kingdom assignment, preaching what he told them to preach, demonstrating the kingdom, healing, delivering, cleansing, casting out, raising up. Amen.
Amen.
And they came back with the testimony, yes, it worked. Amen.
Amen.
So if you're asking yourself, Lord, how can I get my ministry to go forward? How can I get myself to go to the next level in God? How can I move to that next realm? Then maybe you should really look back at the assignment that God has given and get back to the assignment. Amen.
All right.
We have too many people who are out preaching and doing what they want to do, but it's not concerning what his assignment to them is. We have a lot of opinionated people who have no biblical foundation in their opinion.
That's
it's
true.
What you think and what you feel. But the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death and destruction.
Amen.
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 So the enemy likes to get in your emotions and tell you that this seems right and this feels right, which goes back to the question that we were dealing with. When you ask the question, did Jesus delegate that authority, amen,
mm-hmm.
to Judas?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer to you is yes. The responsibility then comes not to Jesus for delegating it to him, but to Judas for what he did with it. Amen?
That's it.
So God would delegate authority to you, but you're supposed to turn around and be responsible for the authority that God gave to you. Amen?
That's right.
Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Right.
Amen? So if we look at this and we deal with it, we have to understand that they were successful at everything that they did when they followed the instructions that God gave them. When Jesus gave them an instruction, they followed it based on what he told them. That's why when you get a kingdom assignment, he don't ask you if you like the assignment. Wow. I know that that really hit, you know, hard. Because we think that God is going to look at the fact that we don't like to talk in front of people when he called us to preach. Well, I like to be behind the scenes. I don't like to be, you know, out in front and everything. I just, you know, that's just never really been my thing. He didn't ask you if you wanted to be out in front or in back. What he said to you is that he needs you to step up to the next level, and he calls you. Now, your job then is to simply answer the call. Understand this. When you answer the call, he's not pushing you out the door right then.
Right.
These disciples, the first apostles, did not go out and begin to demonstrate the power of God before they learned what the kingdom of God was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So that means that there's some training that comes along with this. Amen? Before they got to a place where they actually dealt with going out and laying hands and cleansing and healing and raising the dead and casting out demons, before they got there, they had already gone through some instructions. They had heard Jesus preach. They had sat there and partook of him and had even been pulled aside and had parables explained to them in such a way that they would understand it. Jesus said it like this. He said, to you is given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. The keys to the kingdom, they're yours. I'm giving them to you. It's for you to know. But to those who don't belong, it'll seem like foolishness. Do you understand what's going on here? I can't speak to them freely. I'll have to actually speak to them in parables. Amen?
So, Apostle, what you're saying is that everybody is not going to love us.
Right.
Everybody's not going to receive us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and then the other piece we have to understand is that because God has called us, he equips us.
Yes.
We develop. It's our job to develop. God calls us, but it's our job to develop and be trained to understand what it is that he requires from us.
Yes.
So, in other words, God gets the glory when you go out with knowledge and understanding and proper being able to present yourself in a proper manner that brings glory to him.
Right.
Not going out half-cocked.
Mm-hmm.
Not going out making a fool of yourself. Not going out looking, you know, being a hot mess, as they say. But being able to love, cover,
yes,
pray. Discover, train, be able to bring him glory in all areas of your life. Not
yes.
that we're perfect, but
yes.
that
yes.
he works through us to bring glory to him with our lives.
Yes. You have to understand something. When God begins to deal with us, and he deals with us on this level, in this light, God is trying to really get us to a place where we understand that without him, we're nothing. We need him in order to do what he's called us to do. Amen?
Amen?
So there's a process that we have to go through because he has to break us from our self-reliance so that we become reliant on him. Amen?
All right.
So God will ask you and command you to go out and preach the gospel when you're afraid to look out your window. He'll tell you to sow into ministry when you have people calling you on the phone asking you when the money's coming.
I know that's right.
You know, so you have to, you can't go off of what you feel and what you think. You have to go off of what the Spirit of God is saying because he would challenge you into the next level of faith. the next level of authority, the next level of ministry. And you can't get to the next level until you're willing to give up and sacrifice all at the level you're at. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen. So as we develop and begin to know Christ more, he begins to, as you said, begin to break some of those things that are about self-reliance.
Yes, you know.
And then as our faith grows,
mm-hmm.
then we're, more challenges come, and our faith grows in those challenges.
Right.
So we don't have to be how we see someone that has been saved 20, 25 years should be operating at a different level than someone who has been saved 10 years.
Right.
Or 2 years.
Right.
Okay. So then those of us that have been saved for a while should have more patience
mm-hmm.
to be able to watch that sheep be developed. And if as we're mature, we're able to input or impart something into them as well as we're helping them to develop so that they can get to the level where they're operating in that mighty power and that mighty glory and that mighty authority.
Oh, yeah. See, I remember when I was younger coming up, I come up in a holiness church, and they had noonday prayer. And they would get in there, the mothers would get in there for an hour, and they would come in and they would begin to pray and moan and cry out to God and call out the name of all the children in the church and the pastor and the members, and all of us would be in there and we'd be sitting back listening to them, and I'd be trying to play up under the seats and all that other stuff. You know, I was trying my best, you know, to get away from what they was doing, because they was, how we say, huckabucking and everything else. Oh, Jesus, hey, blah, 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 blah. Right. They was doing all of that, slobbering and get the waste basket. And I mean, I looked at that, and when the Lord called me into ministry, one of the first images I had of myself, actually going through all of those changes. But I want you to know I ran. And when he caught me, I found myself in the middle of a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And they was interceding and praying for me. And when I was on that floor, I was on the floor huckabucking and everything else. And when I got up, I understood why the power of God quickens you. Amen?
Yes,
I didn't understand it when I was a child looking at it from the outside in. I understood it as a young man experiencing it and knowing that this is something that I need. I have to keep this. Amen?
Amen.
You're right. We don't. There's some stuff that we don't do anymore, and we need to get back to it. We don't have Terry service anymore. Everybody got to get someplace after service, which is funny because I say amen and release the people, and they'll stay an extra 45 minutes to an hour outside or sitting in the seats in the church. We'll have to flick the lights to get them to get up and move.
Yeah.
But let me hold it for 5 minutes longer. Everybody's upset that service was long. Amen? We need to take some time and get back to that, the purging. Yes, we got to get back
to the shut-ins
mm-hmm. and the fasting. We used to fast on a regular, and now we found ways to fast and eat now. But we used to fast with nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't have water, amen.
The real fast, yeah.
You will put a toothbrush in your mouth, and you better spit the water out that you rinse with, amen. There was nothing, and we did that. But when we did that, we had power.
Oh, amen.
We had authority on a different level, and now we have understanding.
That's it.
Now we have wonderful sermonic and exegetical dissertations. We don't have what we had back in the day. Thinking that we're doing it better, we're doing it worse. Amen.
That's it.
And we got to get back to that, because when the young ladies and the young men were coming to church, the mothers and those who were elders in the church, who were older, knew how to take them aside and show them how to begin to walk the walk. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me clarify this. I'm not talking about the mean church mother who was mad all of her life because she ain't never had nobody to love. and don't understand how you in love and having a hard time walking away from it. We're talking about people who've been there, done that, and showing you how to do it right, strengthening you, showing you how to actually sit back and yes, it's going to be all right. We're going to pray with you. Come on over here. We're cooking dinner. We're going to put you down at the table. We're going to talk about Jesus. When I had the University of Toledo Gospel Choir, I was the director for them for about 7 years. As I dealt with them, I used to bring all those students over to my house, go get a 5-pound bag of chicken wings, some potatoes, and some other stuff, and we would sit there, and I would have them make potato salad, and I would make those wings up and season them and drop them in the deep fryer and everything, pull them out, and we would talk about Jesus around the table while we was preparing it, and then I would turn around and we would just eat, and they would come over and they had questions and concerns. We would touch and agree. God would give them A's on tests that they couldn't understand the material on. Their family, my grandfather is in the hospital. I wish I could get home. I just want my grandfather to be okay. Could you pray for him? We were praying before they got back to the dorms. I got a call. My granddaddy at home. He doing fine. He out cutting the grass now. See, you have to understand, when we begin to deal with our assignments, the authority that comes with it is greater than us. Amen?
Yeah.
So, I never had a problem with finance while I was giving to those students.
Mm-hmm.
When we need to go on tour, we would need $10,000, $12,000, $15,000. We would have 2 or 3 weeks to raise it. We would get a couple of $100s, and I would say, well, how much do we have? They would say, well, we ain't got but a couple of $100s. The bus is going to be here. He want part of that money before he show up, want the other money when he get here. I said, well, we need to touch and agree. We would touch and agree, and God would release money. We would send it to him, and the bus would show up, and we would give him the rest of the money, pay for everybody to eat during the tour and everything else. This was money that nobody had, but God opened up doors and poured out resources as we need them.
I remember, Apostle, when we had prayer at the houses. And I know some of you out there that are listening in the chat and on air tonight. You know, we used to go, when I was a kid, we used to go to different saints' house for prayer. And we would be up in there for hours. You know, not we, but the kids would be in one room, but the parents would be in the other. And they would be circled up and praying, and God would come in that place, and they would get to prophesying and get to... Folks, so you know, if they came in sick, they walked out healed. If situations were going on that were of the devil would get cast out. Then sometimes they would just call the kids in and pray over them and prophesy over them, who God has called them to be. Who I am today is a sign from being in those prayer circles.
A direct result of
the saints praying. So you cannot tell me. I know they want to say, well, we don't want to, you know, go back to the old time way. But as I had a conversation with one of my friends before, and I know some of you can attest to it, in the old time way, they had more power. They may not have had all the knowledge that we have, but they had the power of God. And it seems now we have all the knowledge of God, but we don't have the power of God. And I know God's about balance. So I know he's definitely working on getting his people lined back up in order, line up on line, precept on precept, let every word be established.
Yes. God is trying to get us to a place where we balance this out. Before, we didn't have all the computers and all the computer programs that allow us to go in and pull apart the scriptures and pull it all the way apart and understand how we come up with some of these things that we're finding out that the foundations of some of the denominations that are set up on, those foundations are crumbling because we have information now that actually refutes what they set it up on. Yeah, amen. Such as women in ministry and the way that they operate and things like that. We're finding out different things. No one knew what a Jewish responsa was.
Right.
We didn't know to read 1 and 2 Corinthians in certain spots as a responsa. We didn't know that. But now we do. And there are denominations set up on women not speaking because it was the question, not the response. The response comes after. And if you look in the New King James Version or in the King James Version, you'll see the words, what? Did the gospel start with you?
Right.
This is Paul responding to them. In other words, where did you come up with that?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. He goes on to say, but let everything be done in decency and order. Okay? Another spot he said, there is neither Greek, Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free, male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. So what he's saying is, stop looking at gender and look at assignment. If God qualifies you and validates you with the authority to do the job, stop looking at man-made things and do the work. If you stretch forth your hand and the Holy Spirit responds, God responds to what you're doing, the Holy Spirit, the dunamis of God, explodes and creates a reaction, then you don't have to ask if you're out of place with your authority.
Amen.
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 If you stretch forth your hand and crickets don't even chirp, you probably need to question your calling. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
This is good tonight. Listen. We have to understand something. As they came back and they reported to Jesus that everything was subject to them. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Which is really interesting. If we go over to Mark, the 9th chapter. Let me get this right quick. Yes, yes, here we go. In Mark, the 9th chapter, go down to the 14th verse. We'll see something interesting. Jesus has just come back with Peter, James, and John off of the Mount Transfiguration. He's transfigured himself before them and began to deal with them. And as he's coming back, he gets down to where the other 9 are left.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
14th verse, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeting him, and he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? He didn't ask his disciples. He asked the scribes, what are you discussing with my disciples? Amen.
Amen.
Then one of the crowd answers and said, teacher, I brought my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Now, this is the problem, and I think I've said it before, and I'll probably say it again. This is the problem. Jesus has already in Mark the 6th chapter given and delegated them authority.
Mm-hmm.
They go out, they deal with their assignment, they come back, they should have this under their belt.
All right.
But in Mark the 9th chapter, we see here that they cannot cast a demon out. What's going on? Well, let's bring it to today. When we have assignments that God's given us, and we walk out trying to show people who we are, or we try to deal with it in our own strength, we have the same results as these 9.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So it doesn't matter what demons you cast out before. It doesn't matter who got healed, who got saved under your ministry. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
It makes a difference who today is being impacted by your kingdom assignment. Are you walking and doing what God called you to do? Are you in the place doing what God called you to do? Look at the answer that Jesus gives in the 19th verse. Jesus answered, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Amen.
Right.
Then they brought him, and he said to him when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell on the ground and wallowed and foamed at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and to water to destroy him. Look at these words here. Look at these words. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to understand something. At this point in time, Jesus has delegated authority to his disciples. They have gone out, preached the kingdom of God. They have demonstrated the power of the kingdom of God by healing, delivering, casting out, and all that. Here they are now as his disciples. They have one that's brought to them. They can't do anything with them because they are a faithless generation. We were okay when you were there with us.
Right.
Okay? But now here they have to do it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That disbelief didn't just go to the disciples. It spread to the Father concerning Christ, who could do it.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know? But if you can do anything.
But.
Mm-hmm. If you can do anything. Huh? Have compassion on us and help us. And I like how Jesus dealt with it here. In 23rd verse, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. In other words, you know, it's not about if I can do anything.
Right.
It's about if you can believe. Amen?
That's right.
Why don't we see signs, wonders, and miracles happening?
We don't even believe. May I jump in?
Yes,
also?
Yes.
Several things that jumped out here at me when you were talking. He said, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.
Yes.
One thing, ministry means you must have compassion upon people to even minister to the very needs that people have. We're too quick to want to knock, and I'm not knocking, you know, if the Spirit comes in and does the work, amen, amen and amen again. However, we really have to be careful that some people, it's going to take more than just laying your hands on them. It's going to take more than just slathering the oil on them. Can you go the extra mile with them?
Yes.
Can you deal with them when they get on your nerves? Can you deal with them when they're calling you at all times of the hour? Can you deal with them when it seems that the more you seem to pray to them that they have leaks and holes everywhere because they're just not getting it?
Yes.
Can you deal with them? Christ, as we can see right here in this little passage of scripture, even though he tarried with them, he poured into them, he presented the lesson, they had to take a test. They failed the test miserably. Yes, he slapped them on the hand, but at the same time, he went back and dealt with them. But he also dealt with the Father when the Father said, but if you can do anything, please help me. He said, you know what? Can you believe that I can do anything?
Yes.
We have to begin to understand that we have to point people back to Jesus. Because when people come to us, they're looking for you, your physical flesh, to do something. And we cannot, in no shape, form, or fashion, take any glory at all, not an inkling of glory. We have to give all glory back to God and allow people not to depend on us, but depend on him.
Amen. You have to understand here, as he's saying that, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So the man's faith that was shaken and deteriorating says this in the 24th verse. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Too many of us really need to, you know, pray that. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Okay, I want you to build a temple for me. I ain't got no money. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen. Mm-hmm. Look, our time is gone. Lord Jesus.
Oh, that was a good message, Papa. That's a good message.
We'll pick it up here on next Tuesday. Let me go ahead and pray and seal this in. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and I praise you for this time, for this lesson. I thank you for those who have come. Oh, Lord, I thank you for those who will come and be in the archives and receive this. I pray that your power and your anointing, Lord, would just touch their lives. Help them, Lord, to understand that you've given us authority, oh God, and there's work that we have to do in the name of
Jesus.
Now, I pray for those who need prayer, for the sick, those who have needs, oh God, those who have prayer requests for loved ones. Whatever it is, Lord, I speak a word right now of deliverance and relief to them in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it now in advance. In Jesus' awesome name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org, and there you can find out more about us. Become a partner with us in ministry. We have several things coming up. Woman of Prophetic Destiny Conference and all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
From Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Remember, live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank you all for coming by. Thank you all. Thank you.
Yes, proclaiming your destiny. Thank you, Refuge 1827. Thank you for coming by. And guest 33406. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Yes. Yes, we were just in North Carolina, Refuge. What part?